Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. We're thrilled to be able to have in the studio with me today Brother Tom Phelps, one of the members of our church, who was sharing with us this last time about some things that God was teaching him on the job. And Brother Tom, we even talked about some of the stresses that we face on the job can also be stresses that we face from just people, whether it be on the job or at home or at church or maybe neighbors or something like that. But basically what you were saying was God was trying to help you to see yourself maybe as other people saw you. And at first, you didn't like what you saw.
Oh, no, I didn't like them seeing it.
First step. That's a good way of putting it. In other words, you'd just rather have it in an invisible form.
Yeah, hidden or swept under the carpet. Yeah, those things. It's really hard to hear or see someone who sees you in your negativity or your sin. And It's just not a good feeling.
And I guess many times we call those blind spots, don't we? And we're hoping that everybody else is blind to our blind spots, but of course they're never blind to them. They see us better than we see ourselves often. And so it often takes a friend to point these things out. But in your case, it was a brand new boss that was not a friend at all.
No, more like an enemy.
Exactly. And so the Lord began to speak to your heart about loving your enemies and praying for him and eventually realizing that if I'm ever going to have an impact on his spiritual life, on his eternal destiny, as it were, something's going to have to change on the inside. Now, while you were going through that whole process, you began to see some changes taking place in between the two of you, didn't you?
Well, he started to respond to my attitude.
Yes.
And he was a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't quite so abrupt and arrogant and also used the word mean. I was a little bit more open, trying to do what he asked, the way he asked. Sometimes I tried to do it my way and thought that that would suffice with him. And it didn't. He would prefer things done his way. And when I trusted him in that his decision, right or wrong, I would be obedient and follow that since he was my boss.
Sure.
He saw that I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw that I changed a little bit. Now, the praying for him, I did on a day-to-day basis every day, prayed for him, his success, his family. And it helped me to change the way that I felt about the obedience and about what I was doing for him. It helped me come to more than just doing it out of obedience, but doing it more because it's the right thing to do and what God wanted me to do. And then it opened up doors for me to share with him. Now, we didn't have any laughter. We didn't have any friendship.
Right.
Any of those things. However, when I did say something, he was a little bit more respectful about it. And that praying went on and on and on for, several months that I prayed every day. It helped me sleep at night.
Right.
I put it at the Lord's feet and just said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And things started to turn and change.
It reminds me of Daniel when he's carried away captive into Babylon, and he's put under the authority of a man by the name of Ashpenaz. And Ashpenaz wanted the 10,000 young men that were carried away captive to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine and basically fit in with the program because Ashpenaz's head was on the line. If any of these guys didn't develop well, the king would take it out on him. And so when Daniel realized that that was his motivation, then he began to say, okay, is there any other way that your motivation can be met in a godly way? And I think that's the thing that caused Ashpenaz to have a tender love, the Bible says, for Daniel, which is amazing for a Babylonian to develop a tender love for a Hebrew. But yet it was the attitude of Daniel that turned the attitude of Ashpenaz. And I guess that's what I'm hearing in your story.
Yeah, I was looking for an answer when I prayed, Lord, take this situation out of my life and help me with it. I was expecting him to come down with a club or get my boss fired, which would have made me feel really good.
Sure.
And I was really looking for that. And the Lord didn't do that. When he said, stop being selfish, and then I had to humble myself before him and then pray for my boss because he's my enemy and that's what the Lord wants me to do. And after I did all that, Then all of a sudden I started looking at myself, what do I need to change? And then I'm changing. And then he turns around and gives me the answer to the situation, which is far better than I would have ever expected. And it wasn't my boss being fired or whatever the case may be. It opened up lines of communication. It helped me understand myself. It helped me to pray more and be more dependent upon the Lord daily.
Because if your boss had been fired, God's plan would have been short-circuited. Your boss would have never heard the gospel. You never would have changed into the man that God is making you today. But so many times we want God's plan to be short-circuited because we're in pain.
That's right. That's right.
And we don't do pain very well, do we?
No, not at all. And I thank the Lord. I mean, even at the very end, I did get laid off eventually from that job. And when I did get laid off, the vice president and my boss were in the meeting and they told me I was laid off. I said, thank you for these 15 plus years of service. And I appreciated the company. You've been a good company to me. And my boss was a little bit shocked. And he asked me to come to his office. And we sat down for about 2 hours. And he said to me, are you disgruntled? Are you upset with anyone? Or I said, no, I have no ill feelings toward anyone.
Great.
I said, I actually am thankful to you for God using you to show me how I can be different.
And then he picked himself up off the floor.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, he was like really amazed. He kind of sat back in his chair and he looked at me and he says, you sure you're not upset with me? And I said, no, not at all. Quite to the contrary. I feel that the Lord was using you in such a way to help me learn and change. And the Lord used you in such a way, even when you were mean to me, I use those words.
Sure.
And I said, you were derogatory. You were arrogant. You put me on the spot. You told me how it was. You accused me of lying. You really made me feel like I was nothing. And I said, but you know what? I thank the Lord for all of that. You put me through a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I thank you for being used of God.
Wow.
He was really shocked at that.
Because he never thought of the idea of him being used of God.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know much about what I was talking about.
Right.
He can't claim to be a Christian, but I'm not sure. Sometimes that word is just thrown around and, you know, good person.
Which means he went to church.
Probably
in his mind. Yeah.
And later on, it was really something because that day that he laid me off, we had that chance to talk. We actually talked better than we ever did. And then I left for the day after I did some work for a little while. In fact, when I went back to my desk to do some work, the HR person came down and talked to him and said, wait a minute, he's not supposed to be here. And my boss said, it's okay.
Right.
So I went on.
Actually stood up for you because you were trying to do what was best for the company so the next people would take
that
ministry.
Exactly right. So I cleaned up some things, passed along some files, and gave some instructions because I had a crew of people working for me, so I gave some instructions to them.
Right.
And that was good, so then I left for the day. Came back about 4 o'clock, and my boss was there, and he proceeded to help me with packing my stuff up and said, well, would you like my help? I can give it if you want.
Sure. Right.
I said, sure. So he stood there. We talked. Mm-hmm. And he asked a couple questions, and he says, well, now that you're not working for me, can I ask you a religious question? And I said, well, sure, whatever you want to ask.
Exactly.
And he started asking me some questions about his family, about his relationship with his son, about his beliefs. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. And I just happened to have some tracks and covers that I was unpacking. And I grabbed one of the tracks and said, can we go back to your office? He said, sure. We sat there for 2 hours, and I had the opportunity to share the gospel.
That is fantastic.
Now, if I would have got my way back in that October of 2008, I would have never had this opportunity.
And if 100 years from now, we're all dead and gone, and if you see him in heaven, is it going to be worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't that the perspective that God wants us to have?
I'm still working on one thing that concerns me just a little bit about my attitude. I got to pray about it. I'm still praying for him now and then, not quite as much as I did.
You mean you're not perfect yet?
I'm not perfect.
Oh, okay.
The thought crossed my mind. Suppose he comes to an event, which I've invited him to, our church.
Mm-hmm.
He promised me he would come someday. So I'm still not giving up on that. We've gone out to lunch since I've been laid off. if I were to see him at our church, saved, and now a member of our church,
right,
how would I handle that? And I still would have to think about the real forgiveness of what he did to me, even though I know that it was all of the Lord.
And forgiveness is a day-by-day situation, isn't it?
It is.
Because every day God gives us more grace to deal with the new needs that we have. And if that were to ever happen, you can be assured God would give you the grace that you need for the extra forgiveness, the day-by-day forgiveness of those situations. And again, it would increase your prayer life. And I think that's what it's all about, because increasing our prayer life, Tom, is increasing our relationship with the one who loves us the most, and that's our Heavenly Father.
Well, sometimes I think, too, after I was laid off, I thought, well, what do I do about the money situation?
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed in the past, Lord, reveal to me, is it my money that I'm trusting in, or am I trusting in you? And the Lord can take many different situations, and the situation with my boss, just one situation, he takes me through that whole trial and then puts me in a layoff situation. I have to trust on him day to day.
Well, we've run out of time today, Tom, and so we'll have to pick this story up this next time, because so many people who are listening to us face money situations, face those day-to-day trusting situations. And I'd like to just ask you to share with us the next time what God taught you about trusting him on a daily basis. And to each one of you who are listening to us there in your car or at work or in your home, you can be assured that, as David said, I am old and I have been young, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, as we close out with an entire attitude of trust, it reminds me of the verse in James chapter 4. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is it not even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. And that's exactly where each one of us are living today, isn't it? If the Lord will, we will do this or do that. And so it could be that you're having some difficulty trusting God. The key is trusting the sovereignty of God, knowing that he's in charge. Until next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.